Surah Shura, ayah number 43. وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. And whoever is patient and forgives, indeed that is of the matters requiring determination. Since Allah has stressed this so much, patience and forgiveness, it is incumbent upon us to ponder upon this further. The problem with believers today, Muslims today in general, is that we do not forgive each other. We forgive and pardon those who are not Muslim. We are very soft toward them. The Prophet ﷺ was told to be kind toward the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the believers who are kind to each other. رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. They are truly merciful towards each other. We have forgotten mercy amongst ourselves, subhanallah. And if Allah lifts kindness from us, if Allah has lifted mercy from us, then we can never prosper. Muslims are so critical of each other. We are so impatient with each other, subhanallah. And whenever we try each other, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that He has made some of you as a trial for others. Are you not going to be patient? If someone has a difference of opinion in your family or in your organization and they want to work in a certain way, you want to work in a different way, this is simply a trial from Allah. It does not make one person better than the other. It does not diminish one person's idea than the other person. We have to be really tolerant and open up our minds. It's nice, it's wonderful if people listen to our ideas sometimes. But we also need to be flexible with each other. Incorporate other people's ideas as well. The point of Shura is this. The idea of Shura is in the middle of all of these ayat about forgiveness and revenge. Shura is a very difficult process and only those people can work with Shura who are truly tolerant and open-minded and they welcome other people's ideas. At times, people can get really nasty. When Muslims are working together, we can get really nasty with each other, subhanallah. What should a true believer do? Someone who fears Allah, who wants to continue this tradition of consultation. Step back. It's all right. Let other people implement their ideas. Let it go. Pardon others. If someone criticizes you unfairly, let it go. Don't mention it. We have to work together. But the Prophet ﷺ promised us that if we work together, then Allah will point us in the right direction. And on top of that, He will help us. Allah's hand is over the jama'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and protection is over the jama'ah, the unity of Muslims. If you want to lead an organization or you want to be part of their shura council, make sure that you're not just a strong leader, but you're also a flexible one. You're a humble one. You're someone who can take criticism. It is extremely important. When people work together, we have to overlook the faults of each other. Allah says, but this requires a great deal of determination. How do I get that determination? I have to focus all my energies on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to have the presence of mind to recognize that this is a trial from Allah and He is checking me to see whether I am behaving in the manner that He is pleased with or not. However, this matter of determination goes even further. If I pardon someone, it means that I'm completely ignoring what they have done to me. Not just that, I have forgiven them. I don't feel a grudge in my heart. I do not retain that memory after some time. We need to actively make us forget those negative things that people have done to us. True forgiveness is not that you continuously remember what someone has done to you, some evil, whenever you look at them. Or when you're talking to someone else about this person, suddenly it comes to your mind. Ask Allah for help and be determined that you are going to cleanse your heart out of all negativity. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. Allah then says, and he whom Allah sends astray, for him there is no protector, no wali beyond him. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say this after the previous ayat? What is the connection? Guidance is to follow all of those qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described. Those are the people who inherit Jannah, who will gain a reward that is everlasting. But if people do not follow this wisdom, Allah says, then the person has been misguided. May Allah protect us. Ameen. Allah says, and you will see the wrongdoers when they see the punishment, saying, is there for return to the former world anyway? And you will see them being exposed to it, meaning the fire, humbled from humiliation, looking from behind a covert glance. And those who had believed will say, indeed the true losers are the ones who lost themselves and their families on the day of resurrection. Unquestionably, the wrongdoers are in an enduring punishment. People of Jannah will be reunited with their family members, those they had lost a long time ago. But the people of hellfire will have lost themselves and their families, Allah says. Unquestionably, the wrongdoers are in an enduring punishment, and that is an enduring punishment to not to even see your relatives or your family members or your beloved ones ever. Allah says, and there will be not for them any allies to aid them other than Allah. They will not have any awliya. And whoever Allah sends astray, for him there is no way. A person who does not recognize that Allah is my only wali is a person who has gone astray. Istajibu li rabbikum. Respond to your Lord before a day comes from Allah of which there is no repelling. No refuge will you have that day, nor for you will there be any denial of your sins. But if they turn away, then we have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, over them as a guardian. Upon you is only the duty of notification. And indeed, when we let man taste mercy from us, he rejoices in it. But if evil afflicts him for what his hands have put forth, then indeed man is grateful. There is no consistency in our behavior. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often criticizes this aspect of human beings. Allah says, to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. He creates what he wills. He gives to whom he wills female children, and he gives to whom he wills males. Or he makes them both males and females, and he renders whom he wills barren. Indeed, he is knowing and competent. And this is difficulty too. Not to be able to have children is a huge challenge. So Allah says, be happy with what you have, female children or male children. And receive the good news for the patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them whatever they will in the hereafter. No one will be without families in the hereafter. Allah says, indeed, he is knowing and competent. All of this is done by Allah's knowledge. It is not for us to complain. Allah says, and it is not for any human being that Allah should speak to him except by revelation or from behind a partition, or that he sends a messenger, an angel, to reveal by his permission what he wills. Indeed, he is most high and wise. And thus we have revealed to you an inspiration of our command, the Quran. But you did not know what is the book, or what is faith. But we have made it a light by which we guide whom we will of our servants. And indeed, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you guide to a straight path, the path of Allah, to whom belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Unquestionably, without doubt, to Allah do all matters evolve. All matters return to Allah for the final decision. Surat Az-Zukhruf. Zukhruf means ornament, originally meaning gold, but includes other types of decoration as well. It was also revealed in Makkah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hameem. Wal kitab al mubin. Inna ja'alnahu Qur'anan arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun. Indeed, we have made it an Arabic Quran that you might understand. And indeed, it is in the mother of the book, meaning Allahul Mahfuz, with us, exalted and full of wisdom. Then should we turn the message away, disregarding you because you are a transgressing people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is a book of great wisdom. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turn it away simply because you insist on disobedience? Other people will benefit. Allah says, and how many a prophet we have sent among the former peoples, but there would not come to them a prophet, except they used to ridicule him. And we destroyed greater than them in striking power, and the example of the former peoples has preceded. But if you should ask them, who has created the heavens and the earth, they would surely say, they were created by the exalted in might, the knowing, Al-Azizul Alim. They know Allah as Al-Aziz. They know him as the knowledgeable. The one who has made for you the earth a bed, and made for you upon it roads that you might be guided, and who sends down rain from the sky in measured amounts, and we revive thereby a dead land, thus will you be brought forth. And who created the species, all of them, and has made for you of ships and animals those which you mount, that you may settle yourselves upon their backs, and then remember the favor of your Lord when you have settled upon them, and say, Exalted is he who has subjected this to us, and we could not have otherwise subdued it, and indeed we to our Lord will surely return. Allah teaches us to have humility and to remember his favors whenever we embark on any mode of transportation. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. But they have attributed to him from his servants a portion. Indeed, man is clearly grateful. Instead of assigning all due favors to Allah, Allah says, People, then thank other deities. Or has he taken out of what he has created daughters and chosen for you, having sons? And when one of them is given good tidings of that which he attributes to the most merciful in comparison, meaning a daughter, if he is given news of having a daughter, Allah says, His face becomes dark. And he suppresses grief. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only had daughters. And if we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would be happy to follow his sunnah. Allah says, So is one who brought up in ornaments while being during conflict unevident attributed to Allah? Meaning not obvious or distinct in an argument, or not seen, meaning absent from battles. The reference is to a daughter. Meaning if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needed someone to help him run the universe, would he choose daughters? Women are normally distracted by beauty, by vanity, by ornaments. They are emotional and many times unclear in their arguments. Now, if some women are eloquent in their speech and excel even men in this regard, it does not go against this ayah. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not differentiated between women and men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denies that he has a son, let alone daughters. The problem here is with the kuffar, the Quraysh, who used to consider having a daughter the greatest of difficulties, the greatest acts of shame. If that was the case, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never have subjected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to disgrace. And he never did. Allah says about him, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ And we have raised your dhikr, we have raised your mention. In fact, the lineage of the Prophet ﷺ's family has continued through his daughters. وَجَعَلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ And they have made the angels who are servants of the Most Merciful females. So now they have made the angels as females, Allah says. Did they witness their creation? Their testimony will be recorded and they will be questioned. The problem is not just in claiming that Allah has daughters, but also that angels are females. Allah says, How do they know this? How can they possibly claim this? Were they there when He created them? And they said, Allah says, If the Most Merciful had willed, we would not have worshipped them. We would not have worshipped those angels. They have of that no knowledge. They are not but falsifying. Or have we given them a book before it, before the Quran, to which they are adhering? In which other previous scripture has any of this written? Allah says, Rather, they say, Indeed we found our fathers upon a religion, and we are in their footsteps rightly guided. No, we don't have anything in the scriptures that says so, but simply this is a belief of our forefathers. We value their opinion, we respect them, we honor them. This is the way we honor them. Allah says, And similarly, we did not send before you any warner into a city, except that its affluent, well-to-do said, Indeed, we found our fathers upon a religion, and we are in their footsteps following. Allah repeats the same sentence here. Each warner said, Even if I brought you better guidance than that religion upon which you found your fathers, even if I bring you proof, and I bring you guidance which is better than what your forefathers were upon. They said, Indeed, we in that with which you were sent are disbelievers. They simply do not want to change their ways. So we took retribution from them, Allah says. Then see how was the end of the deniers. And mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Abraham said to his father and his people, indeed I am disassociated from that which you worship, except for he who created me, and indeed he will guide me. And he, Ibrahim alaihi salam, made his testimony that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, a word remaining among his descendants that they might return to it. He left them with this kalama. However, I gave enjoyment to these people of Makkah, Allah says, and their fathers, until there came to them the truth and a clear messenger, until the Prophet, peace be upon him, came, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them by making them the guardians of the Kaaba. But when the truth came to them, they said, this is magic. And indeed we are concerning it disbelievers. And they said, why was this Quran not sent down upon a great man from one of the two cities? Why not the great chiefs of Makkah and Taif? Why did they not receive the message? Do they distribute the mercy of your Lord? Allah says. Are they in charge of it? Wealth and position are not the criteria to receive guidance or to be selected and chosen above others by Allah. Allah says prophethood is a mercy. This is the mercy of Allah. The choosing of Allah for serving his religion is a mercy of Allah. Allah says, are they in charge of it? It is we who have apportioned among them their livelihood in the life of this world. Meaning it's not just prophethood, the very basic necessities that they require, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has apportioned them. Allah says, and have raised some of them above others in degrees of rank, that they may make use of one another for service. But the mercy of your Lord is better than whatever they accumulate. Guidance of Allah and being chosen to serve his religion is the best mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is better than anything a person can amass in this world. And if it were not that the people would become one community of disbelievers, we would have made for those who disbelieve in the Most Merciful for their houses, ceilings and stairways of silver upon which to mount, and for their houses, doors and couches of silver upon which to recline, and gold ornament. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he does not care at all for this world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the world near Allah had the importance of the wing of a mosquito, he would not give a disbeliever even a sip of water. Subhanallah. Allah says he would have given the disbelievers even more than what they have. Their very houses would have been made of gold and silver. The only reason, Allah says, he did not do that was that so that believers would not become misguided. The believers would not be put to trial. It was a mercy upon the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give them more. Allah says, but all that is not but the enjoyment of worldly life, and the hereafter with your Lord is for the righteous. And whoever is blinded from the remembrance of the Most Merciful, be a point for him a devil, and he is to him a companion. Subhanallah. And indeed they, the devils, avert them from the way of guidance, while they think that they are rightly guided. So for the one in whose life Allah has no importance, they don't consider him, they don't remember him, they're not motivated by him. He's just an entity that they know the concept of, but he is not a reality in their lives. Allah says the shaitan becomes his friend. Allah himself appoints a devil for him. This is the punishment of one who does not remember Allah, who gives no importance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his or her life. And then what happens is the devils misguide them. The devils continue to misguide them because that is their job. All the while that person is thinking, I'm on the right path. They're happy with their life. They're proud of their lifestyle. When they look at believers, they feel that they're foolish. They are the ones who are misguided. Allah says, until when he comes to us at judgment, he says to his companion, oh, I wish there was between me and you the distance between the east and the west. How wretched a companion. Again, in the Quran, the concept of being misled by a companion comes up. It is crucial, it cannot be said enough. It is crucial to pick the right friends. Know your friends, your real sincere friends, and your enemies. The enemies might be those who are very friendly, who are there for you when you need them, but they become an obstacle in your path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, and it will never benefit you that day when you have wronged that you are all sharing in the punishment. What does it matter that day? In this dunya, we share the same interests. Then in akhirah, we will share the same fate. Allah says, then will you make the deaf hear, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or guide the blind, or he who is in clear error? And whether or not we take you away in death, indeed we will take retribution upon them. Or whether or not we show you that which we have promised them, indeed we are perfect in ability. So what are we supposed to do? Allah says, so adhere to that which is revealed to you. Stick to it. Hold fast to it. Indeed you are on a straight path. إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And indeed it is a remembrance. The Quran, it's a reminder for you and your people, and you are all going to be questioned. The believers and the non-believers, all are going to be questioned. And as those we sent before you of our messengers, have we made besides the most merciful deities to be worshipped? Ask those previous messengers. And certainly did we send Moses with our signs to Pharaoh and his establishment. And he said, indeed, I am the messenger of the Lord of the worlds. But when he brought them our signs, at once they laughed at him. And we showed them not a sign except that it was greater in it than its sister. Every miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam with was greater than the last one. Every calamity that came upon the Egyptians because he refused to let the Bani Israel go was greater than the last one. Allah says, and we seized them with affliction so that perhaps they might return to faith. And they said to Moses, O magician, invoke for us your Lord by what he has promised you. Indeed, we will be guided. Subhanallah, they called him with such a terrible name. But when we removed from them the affliction, at once they broke their word. They would not let the Bani Israel go. And Pharaoh called out among his people. He said, O my people, does not the kingdom of Egypt belong to me, and these rivers flowing beneath me? Then do you not see? Or am I not better than this one, meaning Musa alayhi salam, who is insignificant and hardly makes himself clear? Before becoming a prophet, Musa alayhi salam did have an impediment in his speech. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected it. So Pharaoh says, then why have there not been placed upon him bracelets of gold, or come with him the angels in conjunction? He wanted to see Musa alayhi salam as he was. If he was dressed up like the Pharaoh, then the Pharaoh says he would be important enough to listen to. Subhanallah. So he bluffed his people, Allah says. The Pharaoh bluffed his people. He misled them. And they obeyed him. Indeed, they were themselves a people defiantly disobedient of Allah. We keep seeing that people are influenced by those who are like-minded. People are attracted to those who think like them, who love the same things that they do. It is very crucial for us and for our children, for our families, to pick the right leaders, to pick the right companions. Allah says, and when they angered us, we took retribution from them and drowned them all, and we made them a precedent and an example for the later peoples. And when the son of Mary was presented as an example, immediately your people laughed aloud. And they said, are our gods better, or is he? The mushrikeen felt that if their gods would go to hellfire, then what about Isa alayhi salam? This is why they laughed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already replied that in Surah Al-Anbiya, ayah number 101, that people who have been established as salihin with him, pious with him, will have good in the hereafter. These people will fall in fire behind the cross. Allah says, they did not present it, meaning the comparison, except for mere argument. But in fact, they are a people prone to dispute. He, Isa alayhi salam, was not but a servant upon whom we bestowed favor, and we made him an example for the children of Israel. And if we willed, we could have made instead you people upon the earth angels succeeding one another. And indeed, he, Isa alayhi salam, will be a sign of knowledge for the hour. So be not in doubt of it and follow me, Allah says. This is a straight path. Follow the guidance and instruction of Allah. Isa alayhi salam will definitely come back. There are sahih, authentic and continuous ahadith about the second coming of Isa alayhi salam. Allah says, and never let Satan avert you. Indeed, he is to you a clear enemy. Stay the course, watch your emotions, watch your attitude, pick your friends well. Allah says, and when Jesus brought clear proofs, he said, I have come to you with wisdom, and to make clear to you some of that over which you differ. So fear Allah and obey me. Indeed, Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him. This is a straight path. Haza siratum mustaqim. But the factions, denominations from among them differed and separated. So woe to those who have wronged from the punishment of a painful day. The Bani Israel, people of his own community, said that he was illegitimate, subhanallah. A few years after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him to himself, people had started having differences of opinions about his origin. Some said he was divine. Others said he was divine and the son of God. For about 300 years, there was great conflict in this issue. Then finally, in about 325 AD, after the death, supposedly, of Isa alayhi salam, or 325 Christian era, as we say, various denominations of the Christian churches and their leaders got together and finally ratified a decree saying that Isa alayhi salam was the Son of God. A faction of them still refused to believe that, and to this day they are known as the Unitarians. They do not believe that he was the Son of God. Some of them, however, do believe that he was divine. These differences and their history is well documented in all the history books, for the general public as well. So Allah says, are they awaiting except for the hour to come upon them suddenly while they perceive not? Close friends that day will be enemies to each other, except for the righteous to whom Allah will say, O my servants, no fear will there be concerning you this day, nor will you grieve, you who believed in our verses and were Muslims. Enter paradise, you and your kinds delighted. Circulated among them will be plates and vessels of gold. So what if in this dunya you did not have it? In akhirah you will have them, and perpetually. The designs to your liking, the versions to your liking. Alhamdulillah, Allah says, and therein is whatever the souls desire and what delights the eyes, and you will abide therein eternally. We want a perfect, happy life here, and then we want a free ride to Jannah. It is not to be so. Allah says, and that is paradise which you are made to inherit for what you used to do. It is not a free ride. Allah says, for you therein is much fruit from which you will eat. Indeed, the criminals will be in the punishment of hell, abiding eternally. It will not be allowed to subside for them, and they therein are in despair. And we did not wrong them, but it was they who were the wrongdoers. And they will call, O Malik, let your Lord put an end to us. Malik is the keeper of hell. Allah says they will call him and say, ask Allah, make us die. He will say, indeed you will remain. We had certainly brought you the truth, but most of you to the truth were averse. The biggest mistake that one can make is to deny reality out of pride. Allah says, or have they devised some affair? Are the disbelievers of Makkah devising a plan against the Prophet, peace be upon him? Allah says, but indeed we are devising a plan. Or do they think that we hear not their secrets and their private conversations? They were consulting with each other how to stop the progress of Islam, how to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah warns them. Or do they think that we hear not their secrets and their private conversations? Yes, we do, and our messengers, angels, are with them recording. Muslims should never despair. Whenever there are conspiracies against Muslims or Islam, remember and trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hearing and He is recording everything that people plan. Allah says, say O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if the most merciful, Ar-Rahman, had a son, then I would be the first of his worshippers. Exalted is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, Lord of the throne, above what they describe. So leave them to converse vainly and amuse themselves, because they do not take this seriously. They do not accept reality. Allah says, until they meet their day, which they are promised. And it is He, Allah, who is the only deity in the heaven and on the earth, the only deity. And He is the wise, the knowing. And blessed is He to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and whatever is between them, and with whom is the knowledge of the hour, and to Him you will be returned. And those they invoke besides Him do not possess power of intercession, but only those who testify to the truth can benefit. And they know. What do they know? That intercession is granted exclusively by permission of Allah to whomever He wills. And if you ask them who created them, they would surely say Allah. So how are they deluded? And Allah acknowledges His saying, O my Lord, indeed these are a people who do not believe. This was a complaint of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about His people. Allah says, Fasfah anhum waqul salam. So turn away from them and say peace. But they are going to know. In the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the characteristics, the qualities of those who will earn the home of the hereafter, who will live in bliss forever. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings two more concepts, those to avoid. The first one is money. In Islam, all wealth is a possession of Allah, and human beings are entrusted with it. It is a responsibility. It must be earned through permissible means and spent in permissible ways. It should be spent without extravagance or waste. Money, wealth, power do not determine who will receive the mercy of Allah. In this surah, Allah says, prophethood is a mercy. Guidance is a mercy. But it does not depend on wealth. We tend to believe others. We tend to follow those who fit our criteria. Even amongst religious leaders, we will look for those people who will fit our own criteria. The mark of the believer is that he or she does not make friendships or relations based on money. And this brings us to the other concept in this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously reminds us that on the day of judgment, people will regret having certain kinds of friends. Who are these people? Who are these friends who take me steps further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who prevent me from coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who are using up my time, my energies, my capabilities and distract me? They distract my heart from remembering Allah, from learning about Islam, from reading the Quran, from giving sadaqah, zakah, charity, community service, so on and so forth. What is it that I am so busy with? The more important question is who is it that I am so busy with? Let's test ourselves and our level of arrogance or lack of it, inshallah. Two people have invited you. One is a leader of the community, well-to-do, lives in the right part of town, and everyone wants to be invited to their dinners. However, they invited you on the same day in which you were committed to another friend. This friend is a saleh friend, a pious friend, but a simple friend, does not have the biggest home, does not live in the right part of town. Nobody really knows them, but you have accepted to attend a dinner at their home. Now, when we receive the other invitation, the popular invitation, do we feel regret? I am not saying that you'll go to the step of refusing the first invitation, the one that you had already accepted from the simple friend, which, by the way, would actually be wrong and unethical. But simply the idea, how do you feel? Do you feel some regret? Subhanallah. We, each one of us, has this small bit of arrogance inside of us. Remember, a person has to be cleansed, clean, pure, from even a mustard seed grain's worth of weight of arrogance, if they are going to be admitted in Jannah. May Allah make us of those. Ameen.